fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand. So let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
All right. Welcome to Common Sense Radio. It's Thursday night. It's 8 p.m. and you're where you should be, in front of your radio or plugged into TuneIn Radio or streaming it on FMTalk1065.com. Wherever it is, you're here in the right place to find out what's the real story, the backstory, the side story, the made-up story, the story that nobody told you. It's here, Common Sense Radio. We're going to get you up to date. And as always, we're here from the Call News studios. The Call News is your source, your local source for hometown news and sports, best football, high school football coverage you can get anywhere from Mobile County. You need to go to thecallnews.com right now, and you need to subscribe to the Call News. If you haven't done that, you are missing out. It is a broadsheet paper, comes out once a week. It's big and thick, and you can handle it. It's got the news, what's going on in Mobile County, and news and sports. It's the place to go. Go to thecallnews.com for the best local sports and news and the most provocative opinion page anywhere in the state. I will put money on it. Well, not a lot of money, but I'll put money on it. You need to go to thecallnews.com. And as always, we are here. We are crisp. We are clear. We're coming across the airwaves to you on this fruited plain, wherever you might be. And nothing can interrupt our service. Nothing. I mean, even the daylight savings time, it might be dark earlier. The electrons might be a little freakier as the ionosphere collapses overnight. But that is not a challenge. Not a challenge for our award-winning engineer. He can make sure you will get the information that you need. He will make sure that this beacon of truth blasts out to everywhere across the globe, no matter what the electrons do, the FCC, or midterm elections. It doesn't matter. Our award-winning engineer, co-host, executive producer, all-around nice guy, Mark Holliday.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate that. Wow, what a mantle to lay on these shoulders.
The guy here.
My goodness.
Because, you know, it's after the midterm elections, so some people, they might have been disappointed. So they're going, please, Mark, make sure we can hear the show. We don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
But Mark will come through. As you could tell, we're a tad unruly tonight because our director of quality assurance, the only source for dignity and decorum on this show, is on assignment. And I don't think she might make it, but I don't think she's going to make it.
No.
She got something to do. So the boys are alone.
Oh, no.
And they're unsupervised.
Oh, no. Watch out.
That's the way it is.
Jump back, Jack.
Jump back. Okay, a lot of big news stories to cover. Let's just go right to the big news. The midterm election. What was it, a blue wave?
No, not really a blue wave.
No, it wasn't a blue wave. Now, I will say I was disappointed. I really believed, and it was a split decision.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody pretty much knew they were going to gain seats in the Senate. We knew that. But I really held on some hope that we might hold off.
Pull it out
and retain the House. Now, I know people are like, oh, but we lost the House. Think about it. It's actually closer than you think.
Yeah.
I think it's not final. There's a couple of races out there. But what it looks like.
About 20, 25, somewhere?
No, they got 34, I think.
Did they? Okay.
But
okay.
It's going to wind up being 227 to 208.
Right.
Before, it was like 193 to 140 or something like that. Right, 142, I think. Or some, yeah, I think that was it. 142 or 242. 242 to 193. So 118 is majority. So the Democrats have a 9-seat majority, and the Republicans are only 10 seats out.
Yeah.
So when you look at it that way, it's actually pretty close. Pretty even.
Of course, the issues, the problems, the concerns are that Pelosi is probably going to be the speaker, and all of the chairs of the committees will be Democrats.
They will start running the agenda. They will be passing the bills.
Right.
Well, I don't know how many bills are going to get passed, but they're going to be – they're in charge of the agenda. And whatever comes out of – any legislation comes out of the House, Nancy Pelosi – well, you know she won't read it. She'll pass it first, and then she'll read it.
Yeah, right.
But if anything happens, it will be Democrat legislation. probably what we're looking at is gridlock for the next 2 years. Nothing's going
to
happen.
Well, if they hold true to their promises, mm-hmm. what we're going to see are investigations.
Yep.
And
impeachment every other Monday.
Impeachment proceedings and that sort of thing. And not only trying to impeach the president, but trying to impeach the
Kavanaugh,
justice.
Or Whitaker, the attorney general, whoever they want to put their sights on.
Right, exactly.
Now let me caution everybody, because you get all excited. Oh, they're going to impeach. You know what? They impeached Bill Clinton. He wasn't removed from office.
And he served a full eight years.
He was not removed from office. It went to a Republican Senate that refused to convict him and remove him from office.
Exactly.
It was a Republican Senate that didn't remove Clinton. So the point you got to make sure you take away from this, that they can impeach literally President Trump every other week for the next 2 years, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because it has to go to the Senate for a trial and conviction exactly. to remove him from office. It's a Republican Senate. It's never going to go to trial. It's not going to go anywhere.
Right now.
It's so all the impeachment proceedings are literally nothing but thrashing around for no reason.
Exactly.
Because it will go nowhere.
Now, those additional tax cuts that had been talked about or the tax cuts that were going to be made permanent that had been talked about
are dead.
Unless they do it in the lame duck session are dead. You can forget about those.
If we had a House Speaker, that might be possible. But since the Republicans don't have a Speaker of the House, and I say that because that was on one of my notes.
Well,
was Paul Ryan?
We would have been better off if the Republicans had not had a Speaker of the House instead of the one was sitting in that chair. What a joke.
Yes, he's on my list.
If he
part of the reason they lost the House, it's Paul Ryan's
fault. If he had been out campaigning, raising money, putting forth the agenda, getting behind the president, because the president, I don't know where he gets his political savvy from. But it works.
It works.
It works.
It works. He saved the Senate.
Virtually anybody that really got behind and hung on to his coattails was doing well in this election.
Right.
He saved the Senate.
So it's not a wave. I mean, in comparison, I meant to look up the numbers. I didn't. The numbers, I want to say in 2010, it was like 70-something seats.
Yeah.
It was a wave.
It was a big one, yes.
And in 94, when the Republicans took it, it was...
Historically, this has been
50 or 60 seats. And I think when the Democrats took it in 2006, it was pretty big. I think it was 40 or 50.
Historically, for midterms, this
20
has been...
20 to 30 seats.
This has been a pretty weak showing for the opposition party.
Because they usually... Historically, so it's not... Really, the thing that's the anomaly is that the president's party gained seats in the Senate.
Yes.
That's the anomaly.
That's the anomaly.
The 34 seats, while you're disappointed, and part of it with
which
Paul
is a, Ryan, which is a good reason, I'm jumping topics here a little bit, but that's the fact that the Senate was held and increased and moved more towards the Trump Republican is the reason that Trump felt comfortable in asking for Jeff Sessions to resign.
Yeah. And it was pretty quick. It was Wednesday morning early.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. That's the president's club. If he doesn't have the Senate, he doesn't have anything. He can't appoint anybody and get them approved.
So he's got to get it done now.
Yeah.
Look, and the split decision, I have to admit, that still boggles my mind a little bit to understand. And that's some of the things we got to look at about this election. Literally, the Senate races for the last 2 months were moving towards Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
They early on in the year, they thought they had a chance maybe to take the Senate. They knew it was tough, but they thought that. But they literally was moving. Not only are we going to hold, we're going to gain.
Right.
And actually, if people like Dean Heller in Nevada wasn't such a knucklehead, and some others, they might have had some more.
Yeah.
I mean, they almost got Tester in Montana. It was pretty close.
Yep.
So they literally could have. I mean, I think they're going to wind up 54, maybe 55. It could have been 58.
Yeah.
So that's significant. That would have been a huge majority. But what I can't wrap my head around is the Senate races are moving to the red, and at the same time, the House races are moving to the blue. That's hard to imagine. But now that goes back to Paul Ryan. No leadership from the House, no agenda from the House. They weren't out there aggressively campaigning. Mm-hmm. They did some poor candidate recruitment. This is what you got to give the Democrats. Democrats, in some places, picked some really, really good candidates.
Yeah.
Very strong candidates. Better than the Republican candidates, with a couple of notable exceptions. The governor candidates in Georgia and Florida were pretty bad. And old Beto O'Rourke really wasn't that good a candidate.
He had a lot of money.
But other than those, they won. And the Republicans had a lot of retirements, more than usual.
Right.
And they flipped a lot. Where Republicans retired is where they gained most of their seats. They flipped those seats. And also, without getting too much in the inside baseball, the Pennsylvania redistricting. Mm-hmm, really mm-hmm. screwed up the Republicans. They lost like 5 seats in Pennsylvania alone.
Yeah, and that's one of my concerns on the presidential level in 2020 with the loss of Scott Walker in Wisconsin.
Oh.
Glad that Florida remains in the Republicans' hands and Ohio remains
in redistricting.
Yes, yes.
And whoever holds that don't make any mistake. Both parties do it. They gerrymander the districts. And those that are in Democrat control in 20, that's why it was real important to flip some of these houses for 2020 redistricting.
Yeah.
To try to change the line. Okay, we're over. But look, we've got some lines open. And text us at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio, coming to you from the Call News Studios. And hey, funny, after the election and things kind of settled out, the stock market went back up. Stock market goes, okay, nothing's going to change for the next 2 years except a roaring Trump economy. But hey, you need to be ready. You need to be diversified. So what do you need? You need precious metals. You need gold and silver. And you go, Pete, where do you go for gold and silver? You go to Loop Coin at 3972 Government Boulevard. That is your headquarters to buy or sell gold or silver. Go in there, tell them you heard it on Common Sense Radio, and tell them if you don't know how to do it, they'll help you through it. They'll walk you through whatever you need. You need to go to Loop Coin to buy or sell gold and silver in Government Boulevard and the corner of Government Boulevard and Azalea Road in Skyland Shopping Plaza. Okay, so far we're still on the big news of the election, and there's a couple of takeaways from this is, on one hand, it's not that bad because the prediction is that the Democrats are probably not going to help themselves. And I'm going to throw this out there. I think if the Democrats would follow what Nancy Pelosi said on election night, where she was very magnanimous and conciliatory, and they actually said, you know what, we're going to work with this president and we're going to pass some legislation, and they actually passed something,
right?
I think they would hold the House in 2020. I think they could. They could hold the House in 2020 if they would work with Trump. They don't have to like him, but go and hammer out something about health care or even illegal immigration.
Yeah.
They could do it if they wanted to. And I think if they did that, they would not be punished. I suspect they're going to go off the chain. And it's what we've heard the last 2 years is only going to get worse.
I don't think their better angels are going to sit on the shoulder for long.
I think they're going to go nuts. And they're, you know, we're going to investigate everything. Nothing's going to get done. It's going to get worse nonsense. And they'll be literally driven out in 2020.
Right.
Because all the Trump voters will be back. Trump will be on the ballot, blah, 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 all that. But I think if they could see it, but they're not going to listen to me. The other takeaway is, folks, even though we say, hey, it's not that bad, we have a problem. Georgia, too close. Florida, too close. Texas, too close. Arizona, too close. We have a growing segment of Americans that think, socialism's okay, we should try it.
Yeah.
capitalism bad, socialism not so bad.
Gillum is a Marxist when you come right down to it, and he didn't lose by much.
No, and he makes Obama look moderate.
Absolutely.
And so that's a problem. Urban voters, women, millennials, this is a problem. We need to not just ignore this.
No.
We have got to reengage the voters and talk about what's important, what can get done. So those are the takeaways. But look, we got people calling in, want to talk about different things. Let's go to line one. Thomas is calling in to check on his babysitter.
good evening, guys. Mark.
Hey there.
Pete, that's right. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on. I agreed. I was talking about it earlier this week about Paul Ryan being a no-see-me. And sitting behind Trump and rolling his eyeballs and chuckling and looking up at the stars. Yeah, he was no help.
No.
He was no help to anybody.
It was close. Close is only horseshoes, you know that.
Exactly.
It's close as the sun and the moon.
Why didn't he just leave?
You can see both of them, but obviously they're a lot further away, one of them.
Yeah, but Thomas, if you're not really going to do the job, why don't you just say, look, I'm done, I'm going to bow out gracefully, and let somebody who wants to do the job do it? I don't get that.
I don't even know what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan, why didn't he leave? When he said he was not going to run and he's not going to be the speaker, he needed to leave. You can't make yourself a lame duck speaker right before an election.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
He wanted to spend time with his children over the weekends, and he wasn't going to go out and
why didn't he do that last summer?
And campaign for money and all that stuff. You know, they knew at the beginning he wasn't going to be a speaker or a leader.
I know. He should have left. So what did you call him?
Yeah, they should have taken him out right then and there.
Right. So what's your topic?
Well, nobody's doing anything in the mornings. Sean's gone. He's out of state, apparently. He's doing his Pioneer Act. What is it? Davy Crockett or something? I guess he's hunting or something. I don't know. Anyhow, or he's saving the earth.
Well, he's probably killing something somewhere. Good for
him. Deer. They are so tough, you got to marinate them for a year to get that meat. I don't know why he's hunting those things. Anyways, he's not here, and the hard questions aren't being asked. And he'd have a poll up already about Sessions and the Alabama voter. What do you, will you still support Trump after he fired Jeff Sessions? Are you mad at Jeff Sessions? Did you want him to go or stay? I hear that Jeff Sessions is now at Disney World, and he's patting down the visitors, checking for pot. Now,
well,
this is a big question.
He's got to find where he fits in
2020.
Well, look, you're asking a bunch of questions there, and
only one.
Well, no, you're asking about what he's going to do for 2020. I'm going to tell you. I still respect Jeff Sessions. I think he's a great man of integrity, and I still have a lot of regard for him, but very disappointed in what happened as Attorney General, and I'm fairly certain I'm not alone. I have heard this many times of people that I know are very steadfast Jeff Sessions fans that they're not mad at President Trump for firing him. They're actually glad that it finally happened. I don't think anybody's going to hold any animosity for Senator Sessions, but I also find it hard to believe that he would come back and run for his seat again, because it's kind of like, I went upstairs and I couldn't make it, and now I'm going to come back downstairs and try it again. And does he really want to spend the next 2 years before the election rehashing with all the Alabama voters why he couldn't be an effective attorney general for President Trump? You know, he's in his 70s. I think he's gonna retire. That would be my guess.
71. Yeah. I don't think he wants to go back down again. What would he accomplish on his resume and in the history books? You know, I used to really Bradley Byrne on his butt. But listening to him during this campaign, I'm coming around that Bradley's not that bad, really. If he just get a hold of the spending, these omnibus bills that he's voting for, and of course he is way wrong with the Iraqi war and supporting Bush, W, But who else do we got in this state? We don't have a lot of smart people.
Well, no, no, I think Bradley Byrne would be an excellent senator. And yes. We need one from South Alabama. I think that would be awesome if he would run and go for that seat. And I think that's more of the way forward. Look, Jeff Sessions has done his service, and actually I could envision after a year or so that there may be something else for Jeff Sessions to do. But I don't see any reason for him to come back. I don't know. That's his decision.
He's getting shorter, too.
What?
He's getting shorter.
We're all getting shorter, Thomas. We can't help that.
Hey, thank you for the time. I love your show, and God bless you guys.
All right. Hey, and Thomas, don't forget, next week we are at Serta's Brewery. I forgot to mention, we need to be talking about it. Next week we are live, remote, at Serta's Brewery at 600 Government Street, downtown, with Havana Rays, a cigar bar and lounge. They're going to have cigars there. Beer, cigars, and radio faces. It doesn't get better than that. You need to be at service next week.
I think I might. I don't know if I can get out of the house.
We'll Uber you there. We'll get you an Uber. Thomas, you got to come down.
All right. Oh,
we'll Uber you there. All right. We got
drinking last year, Pete.
All right. We'll see you there. Look, we're over the break. We got people holding. We're going to get to everybody online. We'll be right back. 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right. Welcome back to Common Sense Radio. Bottom of the hour, we bring aboard a very special sponsor, ABC Shirts and ABC Signs. They make custom dry fit shirts, custom signs, any sort of promotable materials, souvenirs that you use in your business. Whatever it is, they can do it. Make a sign, make a shirt. You need to go to abcshirts.biz or abcsigns.biz, B-I-Z. Call Greg Callahan down there at 877-744-6750. They can help you out, whatever it is. I know the elections are over, but some of you are plotting for 2020. I understand he already has a huge order from Hillary and Bernie for 2020. You know, look, plan ahead. Go to ABC Shirts and ABC Signs at abcshirts.biz or abcsigns.biz, and they bring wit and wisdom from our 40th President, Ronald Wilson Reagan.
I do not believe that nominees to the Supreme Court should have to pass litmus tests administered by single-interest lobbies. Such tactics are better suited for campaigns and elections than for Supreme Court nominations. As I said in my TV address yesterday, our agenda is quite simple: to appoint judges who don't confuse the criminals with the victims and who believe the court should interpret the law, not make it. And that starts with the Supreme Court. It takes leadership from the Supreme Court to help shape the attitudes of the courts in our land and to make sure that principles of law are based on the Constitution. This is the standard to judge those who seek to serve on the courts. Qualifications, not distortions. Judicial temperament, not campaign disinformation.
Boom! I picked that one from 17th of October, 1987. It was remarks at the Republican Governors Club annual dinner, and I picked that one because, you know, that was what a lot of this election was about, was who's going to appoint Supreme Court judges. Mm-hmm. And it was also reflective of why they wind up gaining in the Senate because of the Kavanaugh backfire.
Right.
And, oh, by the way, if you hadn't heard, Justice Ginsburg apparently fell, fractured some ribs.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of health problems. She's 85. She's kind of frail. So there's a lot of worry and consternation by the leftists about Justice Ginsburg. We pray for her and hope she has a full recovery and she lives out her life. As you know, we don't wish her any ill, but that's what of this election is about.
That's a reality of life.
That is a reality of life that, not even getting reelected before 2020, Trump may be appointing a new Supreme Court justice. Right. And if you think they were crazy with Kavanaugh,
you ain't seen nothing yet. Oh my!
Compared to what's going to come.
Oh my!
With that, and then this week's column was a really tough one to write because I had to write a column last weekend
before
to come out the day after the election. I'm like, I did go out on a limb and predict that we would gain seats in the Senate. And I said, I don't know what's going to happen in the House. But the gist of it was, will America choose to act or talk? That's the mm-hmm. thing. If we keep the Republican House, that means we want to continue to act and push the Trump administration agenda. If we elect a Democrat House, that means we just want to talk.
Yeah.
The government ain't going to do nothing but bicker and banter for the next 2 years. Ain't nothing going to happen. That's a column. Check it out at thecallnews.com and other great publications around the state. All right. We got people holding patiently forever. David from Mobile in line two, what do you got for us?
Pete, you know how you get better health care for service than a rich person with private care, don't you?
I don't know. Got me. What?
You'd be Ruth Bader Ginsburg in the hospital dinner during a Trump presidency.
No, the headline is there's people literally calling the hospital offering to donate ribs and organs to keep her alive.
Yeah.
Yep. Real quickly, I wanted to expound on what you said earlier about the House of Representatives. You are completely right that if they want to govern and they want to be conciliatory and work with the president on these issues, the voters will reward them with not only letting them stay in the majority, but expanding their majority. But if and when, and I'm saying both because we know how the Democrats can't help themselves, but when they start investigating this president and start being obstructionists, they're actually going to help him get reelected in 2020, like the Republicans did with both Bill Clinton and Barack Obama with all of their investigations into those presidents, especially Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
I fervently believe that if the Republicans had cooled their jets on the investigations under Bill Clinton, I don't think he would have gotten reelected.
No, I think there's something that the people will rally to a beleaguered president, you know, if he's under siege constantly. And look, if it was real what they were coming up with, or genuine, or had some validity, then maybe they might have. But it's also stupid and transparent that the people are going to have enough of it. So I think really they're actually Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat House is going to ensure
it's the best political game that Trump could hope for. If we can't win at all, the best is a small majority and let them go on and do what they're going to do. I will be president again in 2020. It's just that simple.
I think that's exactly where it's headed. So,
and if that happens, where they do a lot of investigation and it helps Trump, not only will he be reelected, but he'll be reelected with a Speaker Steve Scalise out of Louisiana and Republican majority leader in the Senate.
No, I think that they'll blow a red wave out in 2020 if with the things that we see coming down the pike as far as that goes.
Especially if it hurts the economy.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah. So, but look, everything's in place. I think the economy's probably going to be okay because nothing's going to get done. The House is not going to have a chance
when the government can't do anything, the private sector wins.
No, the private sector wins. The tax cuts are already in place, and Trump can do some executive orders. It will probably just continue right on down the road. Mm-hmm. I think so. It's not a terrible outcome.
And we'll have more Republican judges or conservative judges in the judiciary to counterbalance all of these liberal judges that are trying to judiciarily stop President Trump's agenda.
Absolutely. All right, David. Thanks for calling in. We've got Daniel keeps – he's been texting. He said something about Sessions being a Gitmo judge and his new job is the next phase of draining the swamp. President Trump has got everything in place. Boom. And then Daniel said something. David is not right with the RBG comment. What was RBG? RBG. I'm really slow tonight.
We'll have to think on that one.
What's RBG? Okay, look, we got James from Pensacola holding patiently in line three. Let's go to James. James, what do you got?
RBG is probably Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh!
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, James.
Yes. Thank you. Here we are. See, without Teresa here, we're, like, useless. What do you got for us, James?
Jeff Sessions, he was a great senator. You know, did a lot for Mobile 10 years ago when the Democrats tried to stop Airbus from coming to Mobile. Sessions led the fight.
Yes. No, he's done a lot of good things. You know, he's been always tough on illegal immigration, a lot of good things.
Attorney General, though, I mean, you've got to have a lot of energy for that. I mean, look at Pam Bondi.
Yeah.
I would never want to be in a courtroom with her as the judge.
She's kind of a fireball.
Oh, yeah, real strict and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could be comfortable with her as a United States Attorney General.
She might be on the list. Actually, the one on the list.
She is
only
on the list.
Is she on the list? The only other name I've heard is Chris Christie from New Jersey.
Yeah, Christie and Pam Bondi both being talked about. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, this thing with Gillum, it's hard to believe that Jacksonville would vote for Gillum, you know, them being such a growing city. And, you know, Jacksonville has benefited, obviously, all the businesses and companies there because of no state income tax,
mm-hmm.
you know, fairly low property taxes.
Right.
You know, you look at taxes like New Jersey, New York, high property taxes, yet
right.
one of the fastest growing cities in the state would vote for a Democrat governor, Democrat senator, a Democrat commissioner of agriculture. It's just amazing.
I know.
What's happened in Jacksonville? Well, you know what? That's what's happening in Texas, like in Houston. As it becomes more urbanized, for some reason, urban dwellers just tend to socialism. Is it because they don't grow gardens? What is it? They don't do anything for themselves, right? They you know,
everything is provided for them.
Everything's provided for them, so they go, well, everything's got to be brought in because I can't grow tomatoes here, so somebody's got to grow them and bring them to me.
I think one of the biggest problems with the urban and suburban people is a lot of them, you know, have, you know, government employees and a lot of white and gray-collar jobs, so they look at the immigration thing and they go, well, my job's never going to be outsourced, so I don't care.
Man, until a robot shows
up. You know, you got the blue-collar people who, you know, they want to make a good living, too. And
no, and you're right. It affects the blue-collar people a whole lot more, without a doubt.
At least more immediately.
More immediately. No, I don't know. But see, that was a point I was making earlier on the big takeaway. This is too close. I mean, those that are really leftists, Marxists, socialists, they should be repudiated soundly, right? How you can't, this is too close, which tells me the demographics are going the wrong way. The millennials, you know, I know they're a little late in life starting most things. I mean, that's something I remember we heard somewhere that the millennials do everything 4 to 6 years later than our generation.
Right, right.
Marriage, children, jobs, everything. So maybe we're just waiting for the millennials to start
moving
out of the house. Well, no, some of them are leaving later than that.
Exactly.
But maybe we're waiting for millennials to get jobs and pay taxes and realize what it's all about. I don't know.
And, you know, when it comes to the Second Amendment, you know, if you get all your information from the television, all you hear about is how guns are evil and you know, you always hear, you know, about guns in the negative. Like when, you know, it takes a good guy with a gun to stop a bad guy.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
But when that television, you know, you only get their side of the story, you know?
Right.
Well, they don't do anything balanced anymore. All right, James, thank you so much for listening and calling in
from
Pensacola.
Thank you, y'all. Have a good night.
You too. All right, we'll be right back. And don't forget, next week we'll be at Serta's. More about that after the break.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio, coming to the Call News Studios. All right, we covered a lot of topics. I need to make sure we cover... Oh, wait. So I don't forget. Next week, Thursday the 15th.
Yes.
You can actually meet us. Okay, you want to meet Mark and Teresa, I'll be there too, but we will be at Serta's Brewing at 600 Government Street downtown. It is a beautiful facility.
Oh, yeah.
They make fine crafts beer. Havana Ray Cigar Bar and Lounge will be there to sell some very, very fine cigars. I'm going to put a special request in. They have some lady cigars for those lady smokers
right.
who like milder, sweeter ones, but yep. we're going to make sure we have everything there.
Maybe a Macanudo or something.
Something like that sounds delicious. Yep. We are going to do those things. Look, it's 6 to 9 next Thursday at Serta's Brewing from at 600 Government Street. You get Serta's Craft Beer, Havana Ray Fine Cigars, and Common Sense Radio, all live right there. Exactly. You can see it. It's worth it to meet Mark and Teresa. Trust me.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, but, yeah.
But we'll be there. We'll have a good time, and we hope to see everybody come out and join us.
Look, we did it in August. We packed the house. It was fun. We really had a blast there.
Yeah.
We really had a blast. Packed the house. It was a lot of fun. You don't want to miss it. Check it out on Facebook. There's a lot more information about it. Okay, want to make sure we hit a lot of these different things. No surprise in Alabama elections.
No, none. No, pretty much.
All the amendments passed.
Right.
Actually, it was a bit of a red wave. They had a record turnout for midterm.
Well, yeah, and there was record turnout across the nation. But
so,
yes.
So I wanted to make sure we hit that. The one thing I was going to go back on the AG Sessions, Attorney General Sessions resigning. You got Schumer and even Manchin and some people. Oh, this could be a constitutional crisis if this affects the special counsel. It's like, well, wait a minute.
They're going to have protests.
They already have protests.
They're having protests. Don't read too much into this. They are not protesting in favor of Jeff Sessions. They are protesting in fear that Whitaker right now might say, Mueller, you've had enough time. You know, wrap it up and let's move on down the road.
Supposedly he's writing his final report.
Mueller is.
Supposedly Mueller is writing his final report. But here's the thing, folks. What do you mean constitutional crisis?
Exactly.
The guy's been out there for 2 years, and he hadn't brought one charge about Russian collusion.
Exactly.
Nothing. I mean, everything is about some process crimes. Oh, well, you said this, but now you said that. Some gotcha ones. And then tax evasion from a decade ago.
Exactly.
Really? It's crazy.
And not from the president.
From somebody
an
else.
An associate that, you know.
Was tangentially with the campaign, really.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
ridiculous.
Nothing to it. So when they go, a constitutional crisis. When I hear Chuck Schumer go, well, we could have a constitutional crisis. What do you mean a constitutional
it's
crisis?
It's like, have you read the Constitution?
Every
do you have any idea what it says?
In my mind, every time Chuck Schumer shows up at the Senate on Monday morning, it's a constitutional crisis.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's just silly. Okay, the other thing, a couple other things I wanted to make sure we got out. I haven't heard about the caravan lately. I don't know if they're still coming.
Yeah,
they may have had their reservations canceled.
I think they are.
I heard Beto stopped paying the tab. He's not
was
paying.
That it?
I don't know. He canceled the buses. I don't know what happened.
That $700 million or however much he spent.
Yeah, 70.
When I knew it was a seven and lots of zeros. Yeah, maybe it went. Maybe it went to paying for the buses.
Now maybe it'll come back, but it's apparently. I don't know. It's kind of funny how it's just kind of wiped off this last few days. Then here's a really serious one. I wanted to make sure I go out there. And it really, we need to spend more time on this. Last night, Tucker Carlson, the Fox News mm-hmm. host, mm-hmm. his home was under siege. Literally, I think it was Antifa protesters, went to this man's house in a neighborhood in Washington. He was at work.
Yeah.
His wife was home alone. And they had a mob outside of their house chanting, "We know where you sleep. You're not safe."
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And they actually got up in his yard and they almost kicked the door in. His
right.
poor wife was locked herself in a pantry, cowering in there, dialing 911.
And my question is, where were the police?
Where were the police?
Where were the police?
Where's the investigation? Who organized this? Folks,
these people need to be in jail. They need to be under
yes,
the jail.
They need to be in jail. Folks, this is intimidation. This is why I hate that we waited to the end on this. This one's really important. Folks, this is the fascist stuff. This is the black shirt, the brown shirt stuff. This is what totalitarians do. They come out, they poke you, they harass you, they intimidate you, so you will not speak your mind, you will not reveal your opinions, you'll just go along with whatever they say, so they will leave you alone, they will leave your family safe.
Mm-hmm.
This is unconscionable that they went to this man's house and terrorized his wife. I don't care if you disagree with him or not. And we, and that's what's really aggravating, is it's not getting condemned. Because people go, well, you know, Tucker says some kind of racist things on
Tucker's,
you know.
Tucker's a bigot, racist
He's
anyway.
A bigot and a racist anyway, so him and his family deserve it. Whoa!
He's kind of a fascist, isn't he?
Yeah, whoa.
Yeah.
I disagree vehemently with a whole bunch of people, like Juan Williams.
Yeah.
But you know what? You don't go to Juan Williams' house and terrorize his family.
Exactly.
No one should do that. Or even Rachel Maddow.
Even Rachel Maddow. That and that, I know, in the back of your throat just kind of.
I almost choked on that.
But still.
But no.
You don't go to her house and terrorize
her family.
You just don't do that.
This
and
is
if
very
you do,
bad.
You should be arrested and tried and convicted and put in prison.
This is very bad. We need to probably visit this again next week. All right, folks, absolutely. Don't forget, next week you are going to be with us downtown at 600 Government Cert, Certa's Brewery. We will all be there together. Cigar and beer, a lot of fun. Honey, it's time to come home.